you told me you went to these awesome York events and you met these awesome people from York. I was telling somebody from Lancaster the other day, they laughed in my face.
Yeah, good for them. There were 250 people at this film opening. 250.
They couldn't believe that something good was happening in York.
Well, good, good for them. I'm telling you. From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock along with Steve Carlson. This week, the entire program is dedicated to what's going on around the wood stove. We're talking about the arts in central Pennsylvania. Let me tell you this story. I was in York on a Sunday afternoon to go to the Root Nanny, which is Mark DeRose. Mark DeRose and his band puts on this event each year. It's supposed to be like a green concert. We did a podcast about it a couple episodes ago for more details on it, so I won't go into that. But anyway, it was a Sunday afternoon. It benefited BOP, which is a York City, part of the York City government, actually. But it's just like a separate organization, and they renovate playgrounds in the city. So it's just great people doing great things, okay? And the Root Nanny was this concert with Mark and Stephen Courtney, and they did it at Heritage Hills on the terrace. And it was cool. It was like, I don't know, maybe 100, 125 people were there. Kids, they had all kinds of stuff for kids, games, and there was music, and they raised like $2,500 for BOP. Okay, so I was there and I met JJ Sheffer, who really like has her finger on the pulse of everything that's going on in New York, particularly around music, around live music. And so she and I had this great conversation, and we were Facebook friends. I don't know if we became Facebook friends after that or right around that same time. So she sends out just a, you know, here's what I'm doing Friday night. Like York Fest was coming up, which is their big weekend arts festival. And she sent out or posted on Facebook, there's a film screening tonight, a world premiere film screening for this documentary that this guy did on York and these five artists. And here's a link to this page. So I click on it and it's like a Facebook event. And there's like, I don't know, maybe 50 people RSVP that they're going to this thing. And it caught my attention. I was like, oh, wow, 50 people are going to this thing to watch this film. I watched the trailer, and it was about five artists. Well, I think the trailer alluded to the story of five artists in York, and is like following them for a year or something like that. Well, I watched the trailer, and it blew me away. I was just like, wow, this is a really good-looking film. So me and the kids and Suzanne, we went over to this opening. And, you know, I didn't have great expectations. I knew that York Fest was that weekend, but I didn't have these super high expectations. I figured there'd be 50 people in a, you know, in a small event. And there's 250 people there. I mean, literally, we walked in, it was at a museum of like agriculture or something. It's right downtown York. And it was sort of like an outdoor courtyard kind of space. And they had this, you know, like red carpet thing set up where they were taking pictures. It was sponsored by a local pub, so they had these great refreshments, all free, right? Beer, wine, refreshments, all sponsored. And you walk into this next kind of section, and there's paintings that these artists have on display around this room, and they have like 100 chairs set up. But there's 250 people. So they're bringing out chairs. They're like, there were more people in that place. I mean, it was just way beyond capacity. And it was the guys, well, there's a couple, Pete and Lindsay, who have this thing called Sign of the Wagon, which is like it's an art gallery house concert space right downtown near the Strand. And they were playing music that they have recorded on tape, on reel-to-reel. He records all this stuff analog. And so they were playing live recordings from the house concert over the PA as everybody was just sort of hanging out and doing their thing. But I mean, it was like, it was packed. And the film came on, it's a half hour film. And it actually had like maybe 9 or 10 artists featured in it. And a bunch of stuff about the arts, about the state, you know, the sort of funding getting cut. And there was a bunch of stuff about Pennsylvania, state funding and that sort of thing. At the end of the film, the guy gets a standing ovation. It was unbelievable. It was such an inspiring night. I mean, we walked out of there, we were just completely blown away. And I don't care what anybody thinks about, you know, their perception of what's going on over there. Because, I mean, I felt like there wasn't much happening in New York either. But that proved to me that there's some critical mass of people who are interested in the arts in that town.
No, but I mean, people probably feel the same thing about Lancaster. I mean, really, how would you know anything is going on in Lancaster at all? All you know is that there are buggy rides.
Yeah, but
and you can go to the Amish experience and go buy some Pottery Barn stuff.
But I think. Oh, and let me just say that the whole night was organized by a group called the Parliament, and we're gonna have one of the people from the Parliament on the podcast in a couple weeks. But the Parliament is a nonprofit organization started in the city, York City, by artists. They have openings on First Friday. And they're trying. Their whole mission is to revitalize a part of that city, particularly the street that they're on. We'll get the full story in a couple weeks, but they're doing. It's good stuff, and they made that happen, right? But I think that people see Lancaster, like Lancaster has a reputation right now, I think, of the small cities in Pennsylvania as an arts leader. But and I think that's cool, and I think it's sort of understood that because of the First Friday stuff that's going on in Lancaster. But I do agree with you that the performing arts that's happening in Lancaster, you wouldn't know about it if you're from York or you're from Harrisburg. You don't know about some of the concerts that are happening. You don't know about some of the experimental theater that's happening. I agree with that. How do you change it?
I think by maybe developing some of these relationships like you're talking about, like the Parliament folks, people that are putting on this film, stuff like that. You develop those relationships. You get them to come over here, check out some stuff. We go over there, check out some stuff. You trade some artists back and forth. We get some people to act in some of our stuff that are from over there. And then people start talking about it a little bit. And then maybe after a while, you get some people that are actually going to drive to a performance in York that's not at the Strand or, you know, something like that. I think it's tough, however, because it sometimes it seems like there's so much happening in Lancaster. How are you going to kind of increase your awareness of, you know, the art scene in, you know, Harrisburg or York or?
I don't know. It is tough because I'm going to go to Lancaster first. You know, in other words, if there's something going on in Lancaster and there's something that's going on in York or Harrisburg, I'm definitely going to go to Lancaster first. Because it's easy, it's convenient, rather than driving 30 or 40 minutes, you know, to go see something somewhere else. But is there, you know, I guess one of the big questions is there a capacity? What's the capacity for the arts in one of these towns? And if you're, you know, are you just robbing from one to, you know, pay the other? If you started to cultivate an audience from York, are you really taking away from the growing performing arts or art scene in York and vice versa? I don't know. You know, it's delicate, but that was a great event.
Sounds like it.
It was fantastic. I want to try to get Brian Plow is the filmmaker. I'd really like to talk to him. I need to get in touch with him and see if he'd come on the show. More information about the film, A Day in the Sun, by Brian Plow, can be found at adayinthesun.net. And look for an interview with Rita King from the Parliament coming up in a few weeks right here on Around the Woodstove. At the Woodstove House, we are really excited about our very first creativity conference in Lancaster, coming up on Saturday, October 20th at the Candy Factory. Creativity Con 2012 is a one-day conference featuring 5 guest speakers who will tell their stories and offer tools and resources to inspire you to ignite your creative fire. Whether you're a creative professional, student, hobbyist, or somewhere in between, there will be something to get you inspired to live your life filled with creative passion. This conference is not specific to a particular discipline. All of the presentations can be applied across the creative spectrum. Registration is now open, and it's only $99 if you sign up to attend the conference before September 30th. All of the details, including the conference schedule, bios of the speakers, and a link to register for the conference can be found at creativitycon.com or visit woodstovehouse.com and click the banner at the top of the page. CreativityCon 2012, October 20th at the Candy Factory. And more details about the speakers coming up later in this program. Tell me about the camp that you saw.
Camp MFE?
Yeah.
Well, from what I read about it, it was a 2-week camp. kids. It's put on by Music for Everyone. It's run by Michael Jimenez. So it's kids that are in city schools that have been taking string lessons from him and his crew all year. It was clear that I saw a performance. It was clear that these kids had not learned everything they could do in 2 weeks' time because they were great.
Right.
It's a bunch of kids focused on what they were doing. They looked like they were having fun. They were dressed for showtime. The audience loved it. It was just a great opportunity to see some great young musicians in town. And they stood up for it. Like they were there. They weren't like, oh, here, I'm going to play some music for you. I hope this is okay. They were like,
yeah,
I'm here and I'm bringing it.
And this isn't the affluent suburbs of Lancaster.
No, it's not. It's like it's
downtown.
Looking at some of the kids, and I knew some of the kids that were playing. It's a wide range of kids that they have in the program. It seemed like that to me anyway. But I don't know what the background of everybody was, but it was just a great event. I loved it. I was pumped afterward. I was telling everybody that I saw the rest of the day. Still telling people that it was great. This little girl afterwards, I was like, oh, you know, I really enjoyed the show. Thanks a lot. She looked me right in the eye. Didn't like, oh, yeah, you know, thanks. Just like, thank you. That's all it was. I was like, wow.
On Monday, September 24th, Kingsfoil will be appearing here on Around the Woodstove talking about their brand new album, A Beating Heart is a Bleeding Heart. On the next day, September 25th, you can buy it on iTunes. And then the following Saturday, September 29th, catch the official CD release party at the Chameleon Club here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Here's the first single, What Your Mother Taught You. It's Kingsfoil on Around the Woodstove.
I see you from across the room, out of the darkness like a perfect bloom. I tell myself to leave this place, then you start to walk. My heart starts to race. You got those kind of legs that bring me to my knees, but you're behind barbed wire, flashing keys and white teeth. I really want you now, but you are the fool, too full of yourself, too full of your hip, 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 hip. You're a hypocrite, baby. Sip, 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 sip. Wait, you're telling me to take it easy.
The venue question in Lancaster is it's a challenge, I've talked a lot recently about the way that people are dealing with the venue problem, and I define the venue problem simply as there isn't that street that has five clubs or five bars that has, you know, there isn't that central place in this town. Like when you go to other cities and you go to the Strip and there's like, you know, three or four bars and they all have, like in Lancaster, you have the Chameleon on Water Street, which is really kind of hidden. I mean, they don't have any trouble filling the place when they got the right bands in there or anything, but it is what it is. And it's just sort of off the beaten path. And then you have Dipco doing music. But that, you know, like if you go there, it's not like you're walking past three other bars that have music. If you go to Dipco to see music on Friday night. You know, and then you have music at, say, Annie Bailey's, which is another two blocks up. And again, you know, if you park on Duke or something like that, the whole place is closed and you walk down to Annie Bailey's, you're not walking past other places. So Lancaster doesn't have that strip. Like I've always thought that, like, because of where the Chameleon is, like Prince, where Gallery Row is, really should, not should be, but, you know, there could be, because you have the Fulton and you have the Ware Center and the Chameleon up there. It'd be great if there were like two or three bars, you know, like down in the corner where that fried chicken place is on the corner.
Yeah.
It'd be great if there were like two or three bars. So then you were just sort of felt that whole energy on that one street. But regardless, what Lancaster lacks are these established venues. And so the way that we've all been solving this problem, right, is to have events in found space. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's awesome, right? Because you go back four years and all the places, you know, we've seen shows at the Elks Club that other groups bring in. So it's not the Elks doing it necessarily, but you have Shovels and Rope playing at Telus 360 on a Monday night. It's a store with furniture in it, like a furniture store. You know, we've done theater on the streets and we've done theater at the Candy Factory, and there's the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen, which is now has a performance space that performing artist groups are going to start to use. And you have the Ware Center, the Community Room is another one. The Community Room is above Prince Street Cafes, is open room with Stray Birds at their CD release party there. I've been to Barn concerts this year in Lancaster. There have been more. There's six house concert series in Lancaster right now. Six. I mean, that's like there were none 4 years ago. Now there's six people doing regular house concerts with some with local acts, some with regional acts, and some with touring acts. So the way that Lancaster is solving this problem of not having these established venues is people are just having shows, which I think is fantastic. But there are questions around that. Like, what happens? You know what I mean? Like, is it sustainable, I guess, is the question.
I think part of the thing that, I mean, we've talked about this before, is trying to draw more people to the performing arts, to the events that a lot of people are producing in the city. And it seems like we see some of the same people at Series 42 events, at Creative Works events, at our events, at different things around town. And I think to draw some people from outside the city, or people who don't necessarily come into the city for their entertainment, they're not going to want to go maybe to someone's house because it's, you know, it's a little uncomfortable, or go to someone's house. They're not going to want to go to some kind of makeshift venue. Well, is it a store? Is it a place to see music?
There's a
pole in my face. Like, they want something that they can count on.
Yeah,
as a venue, and I don't know if that place is here.
But I think you can. I think you can make those spaces consistent enough that, you know, it's all about the experience and the word of mouth of the, you know, of the like. I I've never been there, so I'm going to speak a little bit out of turn. But there's that bookstore in Harrisburg. What is it? The Midtown Scholar.
Yeah.
And you know, some friends of mine have played up there, and I've heard about it, and I've seen some photographs, and I just saw Over the Rhines playing there, and it's like, all right, wow. You know what I mean? Like, and it's a bookstore, but it's a consistent, like, I'm always hearing about great shows that are happening there. So, Telus 360 does their tabletop sessions each month with local acts and some touring acts, like a Joy Ike or somebody might play there. But then, you know, you've got this national act, and that's only going to increase. So I agree with you to a certain extent about like houses. Like, that's really a word of mouth kind of trusting thing. But if, you know, we hosted a house concert at a house in Manheim Township. We produced it and had a national touring act at the Stacey Earle Mark Stewart concert. And we had guys come down from Mechanicsburg who were fans of theirs and were blown away by it. And like, oh man, we need to know what's going on with you guys. So I don't know. I I might say that as long as the experience can be really high quality and elevated, that you might be able to continue to do that. I just wonder how sustainable it is in terms of in 3 or 4 years from now, are there still going to be concerts happening at the Candy Factory and at the Community Room? And are all six of these house concert series and more going to be consistently doing house concerts? Or is it just, or is there a natural churn? Whereas, Dipco has been around for 30 years and the Chameleon's been around for 25 or 30 years or whatever, 25 years. Those rooms are consistent, you know. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, maybe it's having six house concert series is what it takes for some entrepreneur to say, I'm building a venue.
Maybe.
I'm going to go, like, there's something happening. I'm going to do it. And I think, you know, the Telus 360 show, there were a lot of people, the band brought the folks in. It wasn't, oh, there's a show at Telus 360. I don't care who it is. I'm going to go. But I do think you're right. When people got there, the venue was, it's a solid venue. It looks great in there.
Yeah.
Sounded great. It was wonderful. And for them, that's maybe the step that they're taking to a bigger venue in their space. You know, there will be a time when there will be no, I don't think there'll be shows down in the basement or in the first floor at Telus because they'll all be upstairs.
Yeah. Which would make more sense anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of, like, those guys worked their tail off to get that thing ready for the show. I mean, like, it's a lot of, you can't do that every weekend.
No.
It's a lot of work.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with performing artists and those who make the performing arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. And if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. So last week we announced the speakers for Creativity Con 2012, the first one-day creativity conference in Lancaster at the Candy Factory. So this is October 20th. I got to tell you, this has been a really interesting process. We had this idea to have a conference, just like you'd go to a conference about any other product or. You know, we have the Launch Music Conference in town where there are workshops and panels and things like that going on during the day. I've been to a number of technology conferences, that sort of thing. So we wanted to do this creativity conference. And what's been fascinating about this is not having done one before and not really even, we're kind of, you know, making it up as we go. It's like 14 people. Okay, so we advertise it as a one-day conference with four slots. So there's four opportunities. We're going to have four speakers talking at this conference. About creativity, about anything from inspiration to how to monetize your creative passions to, you know, what does it mean to be a professional, like working artist, all this kind of stuff. And we put it out there and just say, who wants to speak at this thing? There's like 14 people.
That's great.
It's unbelievable. I was kind of overwhelmed by that. And we had 14 people say they were interested, but not everybody submitted a formal proposal, but 10 people submitted a formal proposal. Enough that it was enough to change the we changed it from 4 to 5 speakers. I thought it was great.
I bet there's someone out there wishing you changed it to 6.
Yeah, there were definitely a few sessions that I thought were just on the fence, and they were only on the fence because of continuity, like. Mm-hmm. You know, one person submitted about the process of publishing a novel, like through a real publisher, which I think is a fascinating topic. I'd love to hear about it, but because it's a one track conference, because everybody's going to be hearing the same thing, it was just like it wasn't quite generic enough compared to the other ones that we had. But it doesn't mean that, you know, we won't grow into other tracks. And then we had a couple that were really hands-on, which we're going to save for another event in the spring, which will be like more of a hands-on retreat kind of thing. But let me just say who we have because I want to get it out there to anybody who's listening to this. So Andrew's on, who writes for he writes a blog called Creatives, and he was a professional actor. He's a 9-to-5er now, but he's you know, working on that. He writes social media stuff. I mean, he writes ebooks. He just put out a new ebook. He writes this great blog and has just a ton of followers who read this blog about creativity and creative process. He's speaking. Amanda Kemp, who's of course the artistic director of Theater for Transformation. Eric Goldstein, on the board of Creative Works of Lancaster. Chad Martin, who's the pastor at Community Mennonite, and a potter. I'm really looking forward to his session. I don't want to downplay like the other people's sessions, but because I'm really excited about all five, so I don't want to talk about, you know what I mean, like just talk specifically about one. But I'm really excited about Chad's. Do you know what his topic is?
No, I don't. He's going to talk about his free pottery project.
Yeah, so he was on a sabbatical and made pottery and took 50 pieces and put them around Lancaster City with notes in them. They were like free. And I don't know a lot of details about that event, or you know, and that's what I'm really kind of excited to hear, like kind of how that worked. But so he's using that as context for a session about gratitude and a session about free art and the value of art, which I think is a very, very important discussion. I think that's a very important topic.
And I think his project is a lot more complex than just free art.
Oh, it was absolutely more complex than that. Yeah.
We spoke about it. I was like, yeah, wouldn't it be awesome to do another project like that? We'll get all these artists together and we'll do this free art thing. He's like, well, the art really wasn't free. Like, it wasn't like he was giving it away to people for free, but he felt that because he was on sabbatical from his job, he felt that people had paid for it. Like the church that he was on, you know, sabbatical from, and a sabbatical is a paid leave so that you can go explore stuff. Right. He felt that the church had
picked up the cost.
Yeah. Gave him this gift. And so it was paid for. So he didn't, it was just interesting to that all wrapped up in how we value art and how we monetize it and how, what we expect from it.
Yeah.
We expect it to always be free. Are we going to pay for it? Like, I mean, those are challenges for people who are putting on projects out there. We'd love to be able to do it for free, but hey.
Well, and that's a great discussion. That's a whole other discussion just based on the fact of value. You know, like what does it say about the value of that art? Because he's right. Somebody paid for that. There was a cost to each piece. But by giving it away for free,
yeah,
is it less valued? Is it
on the mantelpiece, or is it, I don't know, in the backyard, in the sandbox?
Exactly. So that's going to be a great topic. And Allison Earle is going to be talking about distractions. I need that, like dealing with distractions. You know, because I'm on a computer all day and pretty much all night, and with the social media stuff and email and texting, it's tough sometimes.
Wouldn't it be great if you woke up in the morning and someone had already made you a list?
It would be great.
It's like, hey, here's your list.
I was just, you know what? I was just reading about, what they call the power hour. I was just reading about some guys who talk about the, like, your first hour of the day and how you know, different things that different people do during the first hour of the day. Like some guys will wake up and they will pick the one, like the most challenging thing that they need to get done that day. They don't open their, you know, they don't even open a browser. I mean, unless you, like, I guess you use Google Docs or something, right? But they don't open a browser that would cause them to know whether or not they got email. They don't look at their phone, like, until 10 o'clock. It's a great idea.
You're about that writer. I guess this is how this one writer in Oregon deals with his distractions. He types on a wireless keyboard, so he can't look at the screen. He can't look at what he's writing. because that's too much of a distraction for him. He doesn't want to change it. He just wants to get it out there and then go back later. Because he gets stuck. He gets stuck on a sentence for an hour.
Right.
Just let it go.
I like that. It's a great idea. I don't know why I immediately thought, well, how can I come up with a reason why it's not such a good idea? It's a great idea. You just fire up the wireless keyboard and just start typing.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
As long as you don't have to use your mouse, you're good.
So that's what those are the five speakers. So we ended up with Amanda Kemp, Eric Goldstein, Allison Earl, Andrew Zahn, and Chad Martin. That's our lineup. It's October 20th, and creativitycon.com is the website to learn more about the event and to register. We have early bird registration, $99 if you register before September 30th, and then it goes up to $125 for the day. It's going to be great, man. It's a full day.
It's going to be fun.
9 to 5.
I don't know Allison, but I know everybody else.
Yeah. Find all the details about CreativityCon 2012 online at creativitycon.com. And keep up with the conference and all things Woodstove House at woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Special thanks to our buddy John Chin for the new music on this week's program. John is a musician, songwriter, audio engineer, and producer from New York. You can find him online at johnchin.com. Around the Woodstove was produced at the Woodstove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.